It's great seeing everyone tonight. I can't get over when we talk about old people, how many times I can look in the audience now and I can see friends, family, long-time acquaintances, high school friends, and all of a sudden we are where we never thought we'd be. We're old. And old starts at around age 65, according to what the statistics say. But I will tell you that some of us, even though we're over 65, we're not old yet, are we? We've still got, as George Jones says, I don't need no rocking chair yet. But it's thankful. We're thankful that you're here. It's good to see you. Thankful my two sisters are here. I'm thankful that they even thought about coming and hear the brother. They've heard me enough to know that why would they want to do that? But I'm thankful that they are and appreciate all of you being here. You know, when we talk about the burden of old age, sometimes we have to think about the positive things of old age too, aren't they? Senior citizens discounts. Those are one of the great things, right? You get the specials at the restaurants. You get the specials on Senior Citizens Day at Tuesdays at some of the stores. Those are some things that you look at, AARP. Those are all positive things. But there are burdens of life that we have to really think about. If you turn over to the 71st Psalm, and we're going to spend some time in the 71st Psalm in just a few minutes, we're going to see that the writer of this psalm, and it's really questionable who wrote the psalm. There are some that say this, or some say that. Some say Jeremiah, some say others. It's one of those psalms that really you cannot place the author and see who it is. However, when you look at verses 9 through 11, you can see that this is an older person that's talking. And they say these things: do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. We're going to talk more about that in just a few moments. What we need to understand is, as we talk about burdens, burdens are something that we have to carry. The picture here is the fellow, as we've shown all week, that is kind of carrying the world on his back. And there are times when we look at our older age and it seems like the world that we carry on our back is getting heavier and heavier and we're getting weaker and weaker. And as a result of that, sometimes I think that what we need to stop to do, take a step back and see really about our old age and what can we accomplish in that time. It's often been said that there's seven ages of man. 6 weeks, all systems are go. 6 years, all systems are no. 16 years, all systems know. 26 years, all systems are aglow. 36 years, all systems owe. 56 years, all systems status quo. 76 years, all systems slow. And you know, there are some here in the audience that have lived all of those times. There are some of us that haven't made it quite to those 76 years yet. But if you take a look at that, that really talks about seven ages. In other words, you can say it like this. There's spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. And if you look at those type of things, that gets us a little bit more into what we understand, right? And so some of the things that we think about, some of the things that we talk about when we start getting older are things we never thought we would have had to talk about or think about. You know, I can remember going through all of those little things about prepare for your retirement. Every one of them was financial. Everything was about finance. Nobody said, you're going to get older. Let me tell you how your body's going to feel. Let me tell you and prepare you for this, this. No, it was about, do you have enough money to live on? And you know, that is a major concern for us when we get older, isn't it? Are we going to be able to sustain ourselves? Are we going to be able to sustain a lifestyle to where we're not going to be a burden? And I think the main thing about being burdened is we don't want to be a burden to our children, do we? That is just something that all of us think about, I would guess, that's older. We don't want to burden them. I've often thought, why, after some of the things they did to us when they were kids, I've often thought about that. And I will tell you this, I think there's one or two things that go with that. One, maybe it is because we've had to deal with our parents. And we've seen how that they didn't really want to be a burden to us. And we see that, and we think we don't want to be a burden to our children. At the same time, we might think about ourselves and think how we dealt with our parents at that time that they were going through their old age and some of the things there.
And some of the things that we might have even gotten frustrated with them about, we think we don't want our children getting frustrated with us about those things. So there are burdens that we have to bear. When you think about some of the burdens, our health, our looks, and our reaction time is different, is it not? It's something that we look in a mirror, our minds are still good, but we see people that, a person staring back at us that we're just not grown accustomed to yet, is the best way to put that. And we look at the fact of how our health, we're just not as healthy. Have you ever said to yourself, I just can't do what I used to do? And that's true, isn't it? That's one of those burdens. Our money management is a little bit different. We mentioned a little bit about that. But we start looking at things in a whole different light when we're on that fixed income, don't we? Those things start changing for us. And when you look at the loss of a spouse, that's something that if we're in the older age group, that gets to bring on a whole new part of life that we didn't expect that occurring. And it could be the fact that we might even lose a child. And it's certainly a greater risk as we get older to lose a spouse or a child. And all of a sudden, what we find ourselves doing is something that we never thought we would have to do. And that is bury a child or bury a spouse. I had a wise man tell me one time at the very first funeral that I ever did. When we were standing up there, everybody else had cleared out. And he was looking at his son and he looked at me. And I was a young preacher. And he said to me, he said, Steve, this is not natural. That's what you said, wasn't it, Brother Charles? Not natural, and it's not to bury your children. And so that is a burden that none of us want to face, but yet many of you have had to face. And that burden grows as we get older. Dealing with children. And this is where our adult children, sometimes they come along and they marry someone, and all of a sudden that marriage is not working like it should work, and we're having to deal with that. And we're dealing maybe with children who have fallen away. Maybe they've fallen to some addiction. Maybe they've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe they've done many things, but we're now trying to deal with them or deal with our children-in-law. And even it goes further than that. It's dealing with grandchildren who have issues. And a lot of times, it may be that in our money management, we're trying to take care of our children or grandchildren to support some habits they've got because we love them. And we can't see the forest for the trees to the fact that we may be enabling them. And that is a burden also that we must bear. What is my purpose in life as I've gotten older? I kind of look at that and say, you know, once you retire, it's like, what do I do now? And we've worked all this time to retire, right? But what do I do now? How do I keep myself busy? And all of a sudden, it's like nobody really cares about you. They don't care about your thoughts. They don't care about anything. It just seems like that's what goes through minds many times. Loneliness sets in. Maybe you've lost a spouse. Maybe you're there. You're lonely. You might have been lonely for years, and loneliness is there. And you're looking around through these burdens of trying to find some help. And what you realize is a lot of your friends have passed on also. And as a result of that, you're looking at a different age group maybe, or somebody far away to try to be friends with you. And then we see that younger people love them to death, but all of a sudden they're too busy to really care for those of us that are older. And so when we think about these type of burdens, we think we are still free because we can drive. But then we have to give the keys up. And when you give the keys up, that's like the door has been closed, isn't it? And so all of these things are happening to us, and they're happening even though it may take periods of time to do this. It's happening, and we know it's happening, and we know what's coming. And it gets hard for us to get out, so we become shut in. And all of a sudden, life is not what we thought it was. And life is a burden. And all of the things that we've enjoyed in life, it seems like, in our old age, has been taken from us. We're not able to teach others. We would like to, but they don't want to listen. And they don't want to listen for simple reasons, probably. And one of those is that our opinions and thoughts just don't matter, even our knowledge we have of many years of study. And as a result of that, we now are experiencing
old age. I've often thought it was wonderful and funny when I used to go to Kohl's and they wanted to give me the senior citizens discount and I would show them my driver's license that I wasn't old enough yet. About the time that that happened, I noticed that young men and women started opening the door for me. And you know, those things all of a sudden in your mind start changing how you think about yourself. And as a result of that, what I realized was whether or not I want to consider myself old, others do consider myself old. And I've graduated from that middle age we talked about last night to the age of the golden years, to where those burdens are greater than what I thought they would be. So in Psalm, the 71st Psalm, what we have here is a prayer of an aging man. And I really want us to look at some of the things he says, because he really talks for us and he's talking to God about some of the things that we've just discussed. In Psalm 71 and verse 9, think about this statement. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Now he's talking to God about not casting him off and not forsaking him. But we can take that to our own families, our own friends, our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't cast me off. I'm not done yet. There's still some good that I can do. Maybe it's something that you haven't thought about. Maybe I can sit on a stool and teach. Maybe I can teach younger women or younger men. Maybe I can do that. Don't just throw me away. I'm not ready to be thrown away yet. I still have a purpose in this life. And it's hard sometimes for older people to make that statement with younger people listening to them and understanding that that's what happens. My strength is going to fail. I'm not what I used to be. And it's just obvious that way. Right now my knees are hurting, just in case you didn't know. And if my wife was up here, she'd make me want to stand up a little bit straighter. Those things happen in life. Don't cast me off because my knees hurt or my back is not like it used to be. And what this man is saying to God is, don't do that. And he's also, it's something we can plead with one another, don't do that to me. I'm not ready for that to happen. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. I can't even imagine what's going through his mind when he pens those words. He's asking God not to forsake him. I don't know that I really understand, the older I get, how God would ever forsake me unless I forsake him. If I leave him, then I understand I'm the one that left. But for God to forsake me because I'm old, oh God, do not be far from me. Oh my God, hasten to my help. Now, sometimes we need to comprehend this one to be, don't be far from me. Don't let me get far from God. I need to understand that. God's not going to leave me, but I can leave God. And sometimes I think it's easy when we get older, where we should be thinking more about God and more about his law and more about what we should do so we can have that home in heaven, that we ourselves are straying back to the fact of where we're leaving him. We're experimenting with new things. We want to be young again. We're not going to be young again. I've been to St. Augustine, the fountain of youth. And I look down there, and you know the people that partake of that, they get older. You know that? It's not something that you look at and say, there's some type of miracle drug to make me look young again. There can be Botox, there can be surgeries, there can be all of this stuff. But no matter what it does to you, you're still old. It's still going to be that way. And it makes no difference what color you want to put on your hair. You're still an age of oldness. I mean, that's what we've got to get to. And as a result of that, we have to come to realization. And that is realization is, I need God. I need God at all times in my life, but I really need him in the golden years. I need God. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my confidence from my youth. Would you go back and change anything about your youth? Boy, I would.
I think I'd try to get a little bit closer to God in my youth than what I was.
I think in all phases of life, now that we're older, we think about those things, don't we? There's this statement that says we're prisoners of our past. We shouldn't be, but we are. There are things that we've done that we wish nobody would ever remember, but they do. But there are things that we do that we wish we didn't remember, that maybe nobody else knows about, but we remember them. And when we look at this, what we need to understand is the only hope we have is in God Almighty. That's the only one. And He's the confidence. And if we could make this statement in verse 5, where He was the confidence from our youth, we might have gone and done and talked and tried to lean on God some in our youth, some in our middle ages. But boy, in our golden ages, we really, really understand about leaning on Him, don't we? We understand how much we really need Him. And what does He want from me? Because we want to spend eternity with Him. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare Thy wondrous deeds. Remember, we talked about Eunice and Lois teaching Timothy, and Paul said to Timothy, remember what you learned from your youth. And we think about that and think about this particular passage. Many of us have been taught by godly parents from our youth, have been taken to Bible studies and been taken to worship services and been taken that way. And what this writer is doing right here is saying, from my youth I've learned of you. You've taught me. And I declare your wondrous deeds. You know, to shut somebody up like that and put them to where they're out to pasture is not what God wants. He wants the ones with that experience to do some talking. And we're going to talk about that. But He wants others to hear about those wondrous deeds that He's done for people. By Thee I have been sustained from my birth. Oh, to understand that. From my birth I've been sustained. Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses wilt revive me again, wilt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Ever had trouble? Ever had those storms of life? Ever had those things to where you looked up and said, God, why me? Why did you do this to me? What did I do? That's what that's referring to. Sometimes the troubles and distresses we have in life, we've blamed on God. And sometimes when we look at those things, we find ourselves a little bit drifting away from Him. But notice when He says, you will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. There's a passage in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And that passage is a strong passage about David, a man of God, a man of war. And him and his men are out, and while they're out, the enemy comes, and they raid their camp, take their women and children captive. David and his men of his army come back. They see that all of the women and children are gone. And they weep, in this one little phrase, they weep till they could weep no more. Ever been there? Ever been to where you just couldn't bring another tear up? And the question comes, why? They even were going to stone David. And David, a little bit later there, it says, David sought help from the Lord. And sometimes what I think I fail to do is, I waller down a lot in the troubles and distresses of life. Even in my older age, and I go too long of a period without reaching up and say, Lord, save me. Just like Peter did when he went into the water in Matthew the 14th chapter. I can waller in these distresses and I can waller in these troubles, but the Lord will revive me. And He will bring me up from those depths of the earth. And sometimes life gets to be so tough as I get older, I wonder why. I mentioned earlier that our grandson who has special needs and is gone to a school in Kansas for 3 months. We can't see him for 30 days. Luckily, his parents have been able to Skype a little bit to see him on Skype. That has been tough on us. The Hans know what we're talking about. They've got a grandchild that way also. He's nonverbal.
It's been tough on us. And it's been tough because a lot of people don't understand. Why would you ship him to Kansas? We want to help him. We want to do what we can for him. But I'll tell you, those troubles and those distresses, it's taken God to revive us and say, we can go on because that school is going to help him. That's our prayer. That's our hope. All of us have those things in life, don't we? Whether it's children going through something, grandchildren going through something, whether we're going through something with our spouse, whatever it is, we've got those things. Look at the confidence that this man expressed. Revive me again. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. You know, when I think about this, I want you to turn over to Matthew, the very first chapter. And I want you to look at verse 21 there, Matthew 1. This passage of Scripture is just something that is embedded and should be embedded in all of us. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking to Mary, and it's talking about to Joseph, and it's talking to them. And it says, and she, talking about Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the Savior that we need. One that is willing to save the people from their sins. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. What we need is a Savior, my friend. We need Him, and in the golden years, we need to get closer and closer and closer to Him. We should never stop studying, never stop trying to do what He wants. Understand our role. And our role is to fill out our life, especially towards the end of it, living for Jesus and living for what He has done. Matter of fact, do you remember when He said this to His disciples? He says, you are my friends in John 15 and in verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Let me not stray from the commands of Jesus in my older age. And yet, there is a time that it gets rough for us to do those things. Verse 16 of Psalm 71 says, I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, thine alone. Come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. Do you realize how encouraging it is to stand up here and see this many folks come out on a Thursday night to talk about the burden of old age? If you could see it from this view, you'd be amazed. Because you come from all walks of life, don't you? You come from different backgrounds. You come from different ways, different cities. Somehow you all ended up here tonight in Belleville. And when I think about that situation, I think that you came with deeds of wanting to listen to something that pertains to your age group possibly, or to your parents' age group, or your grandparents' age group. And it's something to do with righteousness. Because that's the only peace we're going to find. The only peace we're going to find is through Jesus Christ. In verse 23 says, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. I remember going to, I don't know if it's proper to call it a retirement home or what, back in Greenwood days. And we'd go in and we'd sing. And the brother that was there, the other people would gather around and he'd try to wheeze them out. And he'd say, they're singing for me. But we were singing to the Lord. But it is interesting of what that meant to him. You ever just caught yourself singing one of your favorite hymns? Just singing it to yourself, maybe driving down the road, maybe just singing that. Singing praises to God by yourself. You know, there's some times that, I will be honest, well, that's good for a preacher to say that, right? I'll be honest. I'm driving home from a gospel meeting, maybe Connie didn't go with me, or I could be in Sierra Leone doing the work and just back in the room and maybe another preacher's there with me. And I'll just go, glory, hallelujah, what He's blessed us with today, what we've seen today. I don't know how there can be anybody else other than God to show us that. And I mean that. Just one little incident. People talk about, how'd you ever get to Sierra Leone, Steve? Let me tell you, Sierra Leone's in West Africa. Let me tell you how I got there. We got there through a fellow that lives in Moldova who was an unbeliever, an atheist, that was taught the truth, went back to Moldova, taught others the truth where they became Christians. We go over to help him teach. We start a Skype class, and some fellow from Sierra Leone sees it and invites us to come. So don't ever think, no matter what age we are, we're not important. God used an atheist to get the truth to Sierra Leone, West Africa. And the atheist happened to live in Moldova in a communist country. What God can do. And I think what this gentleman is talking about here is, I will shout for joy, I sing praises to thee, because my soul you have redeemed. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. And I don't. If you could box them up, righteousness and salvation, I don't know how big a box it would be. There's not a box been made big enough for that. Salvation and righteousness. What are we here for? We want to go to heaven. And where do we find that? Through Jesus Christ. Because God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. And so here's the question. Am I declaring his strength to this generation? This is where it gets tough for us. Am I, in the older years, understanding my burden to declare his strength to my family, my grandchildren, to my congregation, to the younger people? Am I willing to declare that strength that God has to them? A question that comes to my mind a lot of times, because we were talking about this at dinner tonight. This congregation has a lot of older folks in it. There is a country song that says, "Who's going to fill their shoes?" And I wish I could tell you that this congregation was by itself, but it's not. In our land, across, as I go and travel, I find a lot of congregations of this age. I'm getting ready to go to one in southeastern Ohio, where James Garfield actually preached in that building. And they're facing the same issues you're facing here, and that many congregations face. And that is, the next generation is not here. Where are they? What will happen to congregations like this? What will happen to our country? What will happen if we don't declare in our golden years the strength of God to this generation that's below us? I have become a marvel to many, for thou art my strong refuge. I was checking this out and I thought, all right, this guy really thinks he's something, right? What he's talking about is a marvel to many because of his strength in the Lord, of where he has stayed steadfast through all his trials. This is why some think it's a psalm of David or a psalm of Jeremiah. Don't know who wrote it, as I mentioned. But what he's saying here is, because I have stood for the Lord through trials and tribulations, because I'm still standing in my old age, people have become to where they think I'm a marvel because of that. Oh, if we could have that said about us, right? That we are solid and steadfast, and that many think we're a marvel because we stand for God during a time when people don't stand for God. Mayest thou increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about, may I grow and continue to grow and be greater in my love for thee and in my work for thee. Include that or increase that in my greatness and comfort me. Well, how do we do this bearing the burden of old age? If you will, take your Bibles and let's turn to some. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a passage of Scripture that many of us have heard for years and years and years. Some versions will say, study to show thyself approved. The New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to tell you, there's the key to that passage. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to keep learning and growing in the faith. We need to keep adding. And just kind of hold your finger right there, but let's jump over to 2 Peter, if you will, with me. And let's look at what we call the growth in the faith passage.
In verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, or 2 Peter 1, excuse me. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now notice this. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. All right? To knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Notice in verse 8, if these things are yours and abound. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to study that word of truth. And we need to add to our faith and add to our knowledge. And we don't stop that because we're older. We would probably have more time to spend learning more about God and His Son Jesus Christ and His will for us. We need to stay connected to loved ones, friends, and brethren. Over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And if you notice verse 23 of 1 John 3, you see, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Love one another, that means as brethren. That means we should show that love to all, anywhere we can, to get them to understand what God has done for us. Look at Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 1. Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. What's happened to brotherly love? Where did it go? When did it go? Where did it go? And we look at these things, and what we need to understand is the only way, especially if I'm living in loneliness in my golden age years, I need to be connected to something. I need to connect to loved ones, friends, and brethren. I need to connect to those that love the Lord like I love the Lord, and where we have something in common to share that way. I need to count my blessings daily and avoid complaining. That gets hard, doesn't it? In Colossians, the 4th chapter, we find Paul writing to the church of Colossae. And he makes this comment here in verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This may seem a little rough, but I want to tell you, just because you're old doesn't give you an opportunity or give you the right to be grumpy toward everybody. It really doesn't. And sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Sometimes that's just it. It's one of those things that the older we get, if we're not the first in the buffet line, we get grumpy at those that are. It's one of those things that for some reason we think it's our right, we live long enough to be grumpy. Not as Christians you're not to be grumpy. No, we should count our blessings. How do you feel? It's like I mentioned the other night. How you doing, Steve? I'm wonderful. I'm all the way to heaven. No. I should feel good. I've had the life, right? Look how old are you? Just think about your years and think about what the Lord's allowed you to do in your lifetime. We've been there. We've done that. We want more of it, sure, because we've not, as we're going to talk tomorrow night, the burden of death, we've not been on that side of death yet, have we? And it's something that we're just not certain of. But I will tell you this. Complaining is a tough thing. And listen, I'm sure my wife can tell you I'm the master at it sometimes. When you're trying to figure out what your purpose in life is, even after you're 69 years old, sometimes you complain. But instead of that, I should be counting my blessings. How about you? The blessings of that we still have breath. We still have life. We are still able to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren grow. We still have an opportunity to teach our children if they stray away. We still have these opportunities to make an impact on our world. Now, sometimes we get confused about our world and the world. Our world is the world we live in. The impact we have on different ones at that time. And we need to count those blessings, and we need to avoid complaining. We need to treat others with kindness rather than insensitive frankness. You know, I can remember in a meeting down in Franklin, Kentucky, I went up to an older gentleman. And I said to him, you know, preachers try to be friendly. And I said to him, how are you doing tonight, brother? Well, they picked me up and said I needed to come here to listen to you. Kind of tough to overcome that. And it is one of those things that we can be insensitive and frank, can't we? Matthew 7:12, the old golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want man to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Sometimes we need to make sure and think, even on our older age, before we speak, don't we? To our spouses, to our children. We need to understand that just because we're older and our children are adults, our opportunity to impress upon them or our grandchildren hadn't stopped. And we can do that with our example. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we treat them. Because that's something we want to be treated like. And even if they're not treating us that way, we need to treat them the best we can. Because we want to be children of God. Keep serving others. In Galatians 6:2, which is one of our main passages that we've used this week, talks about bearing one another's burdens. That passage is a great passage because it gives me a responsibility. As I get older, I may not be able to be as active as I used to be, but I can talk on a phone. I've learned. Sometimes you show your age because there's still some flip phones around that older people have. And those are okay. They still talk. And so it's a situation where they can call and they can offer advice. And I found this out. If you want to just talk to an older person, talk about buying them breakfast or just meeting them for breakfast or lunch or dinner. We are the eatin'est group of every group. And we love to get together. And that's wonderful. That is just something that happens. I often told people, my father, I think, drove miles upon miles to meet somebody for breakfast. And especially if he had a dollar off coupon, he wouldn't mind. I think he'd probably go to Kentucky for breakfast for a dollar off coupon. But it was a situation where that was something that he kept, didn't he, Brother Hahn? He kept that going. And that we need to keep serving others. We need to be available for others because we should have the time. Hebrews the 11th chapter, the great chapter of faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith, in verses 8 through 10. There we find that we need to keep our eyes on the prize. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And what we find is he kept looking. Folks, we need to keep looking. We need to keep understanding that heaven is out there for us. We haven't gotten there yet. We haven't achieved that yet. We need to keep going forward toward that so that we can receive mercy on the day of that judgment. And as a result of that, that should keep us going with whatever energy we've got to think, I'm going forward, I'm keeping abreast of heaven's there, and I want heaven. So that means I've got to stay active. Maybe I can only do that mentally because physically things don't work like they used to do. But you don't give up. You be wise in your choices. Whatever you do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17 says, do all in the name of the Lord. Stay active in the Lord mentally. Get your Bible lessons. Try to come to as many Bible classes as you can. You know, one of the things that they have now on the computer is you can go in and you can pick up these. This is my term. This is golden age term. The cyber services, they maybe have a Bible study online, or they're actually doing their worship services live. That if you're where you can't get out, you might be able to participate in those. But you stay active. You be wise in your choices. But here's something that I want to tell you that's amazing for all of us in our older age. And that is the qualities of a strong church. Turn over to Titus. Titus is an interesting book. When Connie and I were at the island of Crete, where Titus was left, it was easy for me to see some things that I did not know about Crete. One, it's a big place. It's not just a little place. It's a big place. And two was, that as Paul was giving him instructions how big of a task this was going to be for Titus to do. It wasn't a little task. But as he comes to chapter 2, of which we understand man has put in verses and chapters, he tells him, Paul tells this young preacher Titus, but as for you, and he says, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. All right, what's proper for sound doctrine? Now notice this, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Sometimes I think we get older, we forget that we still have qualifications to meet. We still have things we're supposed to be doing. And so as we look at this, what's proper for sound doctrine? Older men, these are the things you're to do. But look at verse 3. That older women likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. I'll stop right there. There's two things that go with that. Older women, you should not quit teaching. Younger women, you should not quit learning. That's what goes with that. And if one of the other two stops, if the older women quit teaching or the younger women quit wanting to learn, that breaks what he says is something for sound doctrine. We need to understand that. To be discreet and chaste and homemakers and good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. One of the greatest travesties that's ever occurred in the American or in the United States of America is a thing called credit. I want you to think about that. Credit has caused families to split. It's caused homes to be broken. It's taken men and women both away from their families. And as a result, we have credit that's just too easy, and many people are in over their head. And thus, the home that Paul tells Titus about here, that the older women are to teach their younger women about, has been challenged. And we've talked about home this week. And most of it occurs because of a thing called credit. When we look a little bit further down here, he says the young men in verse 6, to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You know how he starts this? Older men, older women, and he breaks it down from there. We have a job to do in our golden age. We are to lead, teach, and make sure that the next generation understands what God wants. The qualities of a sound church. Bearing the burden of age. According to Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oftentimes, my father would say, Steve, getting old is not for wimps. And I used to think about that and think, okay. But I want to tell you, the last 4 or 5 years, boy, how smart he was. Because getting older is not for wimps. And it's a challenge mentally and physically and spiritually when you start getting older, and the older you get, to bear the burdens of that age. But you can do that through Jesus Christ. There's the plan of salvation that we have shown all this week, and we'll continue to show it. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. And when he comes, we want to be ready. And we want to be ready to stand in judgment to where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, you're willing to confess that Christ is that Son of God, and meet him in the watery grave of baptism, be raised a new creature and be faithful unto death, walking with him regardless of what age group you're in, as long as you're the age of accountability, then what we see is a way for us to get to heaven. And mercy to be given. Would you be willing to do that tonight? If you need to come to the Lord, why not do that while we stand and while we sing?